Some of you know the story well. Some of you, it might be a fairly new story to you, but we are in the Old Testament. God's people have been set free from Egypt, led by Moses. They have traveled through the wilderness. They have gone over the Jordan River. And now, led by Joshua, are entering the promised land of Canaan. But it's still not easy for them. They still have obstacles to overcome. One of which is this fortified gateway city of Jericho, with walls over 13 feet high, we are told. Now, the military strategy to overcome this obstacle is alternative, to say the least. Once again, in this story, we see God working in ways that we don't really expect. Sometimes God does it that way, doesn't he? Here's the strategy. For 6 days, they were to march around the city walls just once, blowing the trumpets. Get up, they all march around once, blow the trumpets, go back to camp. 6 days, just walking around like that. Then on the seventh day, we're told they had to march around it seven times. The first 6 times, just blowing the trumpets as before. But on the seventh time, the people were to give a mighty victory shout. And you might need to remember that. When that happened, we are told the result was the walls of Jericho fell. And there was victory. Slightly alternative way of doing things, but God is the God of doing things that often we don't expect. Now, I practiced this. I'm not very good at it, but I tested this out on Alison. Alison says she's pleased she's on Sunday school and not here. Because I'm going to do a little tune to you, and you have to guess what the tune is from. Okay? All right? Now, I have to say Alison guessed it. And I was impressed that she was a bit dubious. But anyway, here we go. Are you ready? This is the tune. Are you ready? Anybody? What is it? The Magic Roundabout, obviously. Of course it is. It is. Shoot you. Oh dear, they're off now. You remember it? Some of you remember it? Dougal and Dylan and Zebedee and all them. Some of them, it's a generation. Maybe you're younger. Magic Roundabout. All right, that's it for that. Why the Magic Roundabout? Well, I think life can sometimes feel that we are going around and around and around in circles. And not really getting anywhere. Another day, another week, another month, even another year. We can feel stuck in situations, in struggles, in bad habits, in sinful patterns, in jobs perhaps, in unhealthy relationships. And it can all feel a bit frustrating at times. So the first thing that I really want to say to you this morning is simply this. Keep walking. Keep walking. All right? It's not a deep theological point, but I just want to encourage you to keep on walking. For the first 6 days, God's people in this story just had to walk. They had to walk around and around and around the walls while nothing was happening at all. You know, I've noticed more recently when asking people, how are you doing? These are some of the replies that I've had. Oh, I'm battling on. I'm surviving. Keep going. You've got to, haven't you? Plodding on. And when you get those replies, to me it sounds a bit like saying, I'm going around and around and around and around. And when I hear those replies, part of me inside thinks, no, surely this can't be right. Surely there has to be more to life than just, oh, carrying on. Part of me thinks that. But part of me, if I'm honest, says, this is the reality of life sometimes. Sometimes life is like this. And you know what? I think it's okay sometimes for life to be like that. You know, why did God ask the people to walk around the walls of Jericho 6 times while nothing was happening at all? Was it a faith issue? Was it about obedience or trust? Was it about patience, a test? Actually, we're not sure why, to be honest. It doesn't really make it clear. We might go back to it and try and find out a little bit more, perhaps. But we're not quite sure why God just said, keep once a day, help you get, walk round once. Is it obedience, trust, faith? Did he just want to give them a bit of exercise? I don't know. But I do feel that there is a lot to say sometimes about just keeping going. Even when we feel like we're going around in circles and we're not really getting anywhere. Sometimes there is a value in it, just keeping going. There's a necessity in it. There's an importance in it. And even when nothing is happening, when things don't seem to make sense, like God's military strategy to overcome the walls of Jericho, we'll remember that song and we might sing it a bit later. Waymaker. Even when we don't see it, God, we know that you're still working. We might not see it. We might not understand it. We're just keeping going. But somewhere in there, help to remind us that somewhere you're still working. We've got to trust that because that's what your word tells us. But you know, God can work in all kinds of different ways, can't he? I gave a message a few weeks ago about how God decided to take the people of Israel round the long way. And said at the time, they might have said, God, what are you doing? There's a short way. There's a shorter way from here to there. And God's like, no, you go that way round. And then, like, potentially they could be going, God, why do we have to go that way? But in the big picture of things, what God was doing was protecting them, because he knew if they went the shorter way, they'd be going through the area of the Philistines, it would cause war, lives would be lost. So God was at work, but perhaps not always in a way that we understand or even see at the time. Though I do believe keeping walking is often about also keeping being faithful. It's still about obedience. It's still about trusting and perseverance. It's still about having patience and keeping the faith. Even when we're just walking, even when we're just, oh, we're just carrying on, even though it's another day, I'm surviving. Those things are still important. To be faithful and to be obedient and to be kind of keep persevering and be patient and trusting God for what he's doing. You know, I think it's still important when we're just keeping on walking that we keep aiming daily to follow those general things that I said last week, what God wanted for all Christians. Even when we're plodding on, even when we're just surviving, even when it's another day, I think those things that we talked about last week, do you remember? We talked about loving God with all our heart and soul and strength and loving our neighbours, ourselves. We talked about doing good works and engaging in scripture and acting justly and loving mercy and walking humbly. We talked about gathering in fellowship, forgiving people that have hurt us, helping the poor and the needy, battling the flesh and sin and resisting temptation and the devil, trying not to worry, making sure we look for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus, rejoicing always, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, seeking God first, fearing God, worshipping God, honouring God, all those things that we said last week, this is just God's will for Christians, daily, to be doing. So even when we keep walking, even when it's just about keeping going, we're still looking to do those things, good works, still looking to share the faith, still looking to take opportunities where we can to act justly and to follow God's word and engage in his scripture and be in fellowship. Keep walking, but keep doing the things that God has put on us. You know, I believe there will be many Christians who have no real great earthly profile, but people who have kept walking faithfully, and God has seen them. And one day they'll arrive at heaven's door, and they will hear the words recorded in Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now the joy of the Lord. Is there people like that that you know? People you just know that they just have been faithful. They've kept being faithful. You know, when I wrote it, I thought of Alan. He won't like me saying it. Alan, he's just faithful. He's a walker as well, actually. That's partly why I'm thinking, because he walks. He walks everywhere, does Alan. But he keeps walking in his faith. He's consistent and faithful and loyal. Has he got a big profile? He hasn't got a big profile. In fact, he had such a low profile that a few Thursdays ago in the fellowship group, they were talking about music, and Alan talked about the organ, and half the group said, "Why do you play the organ?" They didn't even know he was there. That's how low his profile is. And we're like, every week he's there, but he's just keep walking. One day, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord. Keep walking. The second thing I heard when I was talking about this story was about walking together. When I read it again, I thought about walking together. You know, while reading this story again, I just like the idea of God's people walking together around the walls. Walking alongside each other. A bit like the old march for Jesus. Does somebody ever do them? The old when march for Jesus was a bit of a thing, and hundreds of them go to the cities and they do these massive marches for Jesus in the city. Christians just walking together, or a little bit like when the Whit Friday walks were done properly, not when they just wander around having a chat about did you watch Strictly last night and all that kind of stuff, but when they were done properly and there were acts of proclamation and worship, and that idea of Christians walking together, just different ages, different kind of people, different personalities, just walking together proclaiming Jesus. I just had that idea again as in this story today. I like the picture of God's family walking and journeying together in unity, in fellowship, in God's plans, in God's purposes. I really like that. And just to kind of turn it around a little bit, not like when we go on a Good Friday walk in our church and Alan and with us and Adam. Because Alan, I have to balance it out, you see. I was nice to him. I won't be quite. When we go on a Good Friday walk in our church and Alan comes, and my own son Adam as well, they won't be walking together. They're off, miles in front of everybody else, probably doing about 3 laps of the same circuit everyone else is doing once. The rest of us are just plodding together. They're off on their own. I like the idea of walking together. I was being sort of family fellowshipping and focusing on God's plans. That's what the people were doing, wasn't it? You know, a few weeks ago I wrote a magazine article based around 2 shows that I'd been to see. I said I'd gone to see 2 musicals quite close together. I went to see a musical called The Choir of Man, and I went to see a musical called The Bank of Dave, about the true story about the guy in Burnley. Some of you have seen the film, but it made it into a musical. And I went to see these 2 musicals quite close together. And they were both really good. I enjoyed them. But what was interesting about both these musicals is they were both set kind of mainly around pubs. All right, they were in pubs. The musicals were based in pubs. And what I said in my article is this. What stood out for me in these plays was the sense of community, camaraderie, togetherness and support they had for one another. You couldn't help but come away from them without feeling uplifted. And I said, yes, these qualities can be found in a pub and in many other places of meeting, but I also felt the conviction regarding how people also need to see and experience these qualities in the church. And I put, sadly, over the years, the church has at times let people down, has been a place of judgment, self-importance, and even boredom. As we move into Pentecost and see the early church in Acts 2, it's a challenge to us about what church is today. And I wonder if, in some ways, it perhaps needs to be more like the pubs in these 2 stories than what sometimes people find in churches today. It's important, isn't it? We have that camaraderie, that sense of togetherness, that sense of walking together and being in it together in the purposes and the plans of God. And as we consider walking together again today, we might also need to think about those who get injured along the way, those that get tired, those that seem to be falling away from us. And the question always has to be, how do we respond when we see that happening? You're often challenged when you see these army documentaries and they go on these runs together and they can't leave somebody behind, can they? You know, if somebody's falling, if they start to collapse, they've got to get them up, or they've got to pick them up, they've got to carry them. I remember when we went on a Good Friday walk with Ernie. He says, oh, I can do this. Do you remember that one? And we went up on the tops and around the reservoir. Oh, Ernie, it's about a couple of miles around this. Easy, I can do this. He got about halfway and he says, I can't go any further. And you're halfway with no choice. We basically lifted him, carried him the rest of the way. But we couldn't leave him behind, could we? No, we couldn't leave him behind. We couldn't leave him behind, that's right. I say we've got to be church, walking together. How do we help each other? How do we look after one another? How do we walk in the purposes and the plans that God has for us? I pick that up again from this story today. I'm hoping I'm keeping you awake. For my last point, let me go. Finally, I want to just say about walking to victory, overcoming the walls. You know, some time ago, I remember giving a message based around the significance of the number 40 in the Bible, saying that actually we need to keep going because there's always day 41 still ahead of us. I talked about the situation with Noah. It rained and poured for 40 days, but then day 41 it stopped. I talked about Moses going up Mount Sinai for 40 days, and on the 41st day God gave him the Ten Commandments. I talked about the Israelites going through the desert for 40 years, but on day 41, they entered the promised land. I talked about Goliath taunting God's people for 40 days until day 41, David stood up and he was defeated. I talked about Jonah preaching to the people of Nineveh for 40 days, and on day 41, they repented and turned back to God. I talked about Jesus being in the desert, being tempted by the enemy for 40 days, but on day 41, he came out victorious. And we said about day number 40 is important in the Bible, but keep walking because day 41 could be just ahead. Do you remember that message? Some of you. So here, I think we can go back to why day 7. You think, oh, hold on, there's no 40 in this story, David. But there is day 7. And on day 7, they had to walk around 7 times. And then we're told they had to walk around on the 7th time, 7 times. And you see, 7 is also a significant number in the Bible. It's often referred to as the perfect number. Creation. God made the world in 6 days, or the creation in 6 days. On the 7th day, he rested. 7 I am sayings of Jesus. How many times do we need to forgive? 70 times 7. 7 churches in the book of Revelation. 7 is also a significant number in the Bible. It's known as the perfect number. Could that be the reason that God made the people walk around for 7 days and on the 7th day walk around 7 times? Probably. Maybe. Possibly. You know, one of my favorite 7 stories in the Bible is the story of a guy called Naaman. He was the commander of the army of Aram in the Old Testament, and he had leprosy. And because he didn't want to have leprosy and he wanted something to happen, he was told via a servant girl of the prophet Elijah to bathe in the River Jordan 7 times. And he's like, what? The River Jordan? It is filthy. And why do I have to bathe in it 7 times? And basically, Elijah didn't talk, the prophet didn't talk to him. He sent someone and said, well, if you want to go with it, this is what I'm telling you to do. So he did. And he went in the Jordan once, and then he went in the Jordan twice, 3 times, 4 times. Nothing happened to him. 5 times, 6 times. Nothing happened to him. He must have thought, what is going on? I'm just going to give up. And then the 7th time he entered the Jordan, and as he came out, the leprosy had gone. He'd been healed by our mighty God. There is still something in this about obedience and about doing God's will and trusting God for what he's doing. But in the story of Naaman and in the story today of the overcoming of the walls of Jericho, I want to finish by saying this. Sometimes walking around in circles needs to stop. It needs to be broken. Now you might think, hang on a minute, David. Earlier on you said it's okay sometimes to walk around in circles. And it is. Sometimes it's okay to just keep going, plodding on. I'm doing all right, I'm surviving another day. Sometimes it's okay to do that, being faithful, going around and around. But I also want to say sometimes going around and around and around needs to be broken. Day 7 for Naaman. Day 7 for the people, God's people facing Jericho. With God's help, sometimes we need to do what happened in that story that we read today, that was read for us today. We need to give out a shout of victory. We need to cry out a victory cry, and we need to break the cycle of just walking around and around and around. What do I mean? Sometimes we need to give a shout of victory over addiction. If you've got addiction, it is not good to just keep going around and around and around in that addiction. I know that's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But I've got to believe in a God that sometimes can break that cycle by a mighty shout in his name. Sometimes we need to give a shout of victory over bad habits that we just keep doing and keep doing and keep doing. Sometimes we need to give a shout of victory over these deep hurts that we've carried for years and years and years. Sometimes we need to give a shout of victory over sin. Sometimes we need to give a shout of victory over unhealthy relationships. Things that go against God's best plan for our lives. Things that are holding us back. Things that are holding us down. You know, sometimes it's okay to keep plodding faithfully, to keep being obedient and patient and trusting. But sometimes if you're going around and around and around into things that are bad for you, somewhere our God says, no, enough's enough. There has to be freedom and healing and restoration, and there has to be a different path that we're going to get you on. I have to believe that, and I've seen it over the years. Happen to people, but I've also people seen it happen where people just keep going round and around and around, and they find it frustrating. And I find it frustrating sometimes with some things in my own life. But I believe that God is saying sometimes, no, we need to shout a victory cry, and we need to break this. We need to move on and forward, not just keep going around and around. You know, when England played, was it DR Congo? They were talking about, because DR Congo was quite a hard team to break down. And I think that he's obviously Tuchel. His tactic to the players, because a couple of them said it after in interviews, he said it's a bit like cracking the rock, I think he said. I think the idea was, what he was saying is that sometimes a tough defence to break down, it's just like a rock. And you just have to keep chipping away at it. And as you chip away at it, the idea is that finally the rock will break. The idea for the football is that finally you will get a breakthrough and you'll get an opportunity to score. Amazingly, by the grace of God, England did. but I think there's something in that, keeping going. But we have to crack the rock. We have to break the rock. And how do we break the rock? Well, I think there's just two things. Prayer. Prayer is like that. Prayer is a way of breaking the rock, breaking the cycle, trying to get freedom, praying into it, proclaiming it for in Jesus' name. We've got to do more of that. And then finally, perhaps, as we look at this story, we're encouraged how we're going to do it, how we're going to break the rock, how we're going to break the circle. Well, this story tells us that we need to praise and we need to worship. Because that's what they were doing. They were praised, they were worshiping, they were keeping their eyes on the Lord. And as they walked around, they blew their trumpets. And then they gave a shout of praise, a victory cry. And true worship is powerful. It helps us to keep our eyes on God. It allows us to meet with him. We're going to sing in a minute the song Praise. And in the song Praise, it says this, because my praise is a weapon, it's more than a song. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. So, where are we today? You know, for some of you, I just want to encourage you to keep walking. You might think, oh, it's another day, another hot day, another week, another thing. You know, sometimes we just have to keep being faithful. And when, as you walk, as you keep walking, still be faithful, still persevere, still look to do the things that God calls us to do daily as we follow him as God's people. Keep walking. For others, we just want to say, have that acknowledgement that we walk together. We're church, we're family. You know, we're not enemies, and same is, you know, and Furwood's our family, you know what, and St. Mark's and all these different places, you know, wherever, and South Chatham, they're our family as well. We walk with them, the people of God, and we encourage each other and we spur each other on. And if somebody falls or struggles, we try and help them out, don't we? We try and pick them up. We try and walk them up. And then finally, for some of you, I just want to say that maybe there's a time when that circle of going around and around, whatever it is, it has to break somehow. You don't just keep going around and around and around. And I believe God can do it. He can. He's mighty and powerful. And if you're in a bad relationship, or if you're in a bad attitude, or you've got addiction in your life, or whatever it is, I pray that God would break that in Jesus' name. So you can move forward into more of the promised land that God has for you in your life. How do we do it? We do it by encouraging each other. We do it by praying together. And we do it through worship in Jesus' name. That's my prayer. It's hot. It's sticky. But I pray that something of that would be in this place today for all of us. Amen. So what I've done is picked a couple of songs. I've referenced them as I've gone along, really. I picked the song Waymaker.